Greetings, friends. Today I'm going to be sharing a personal reflection based on the first of Jesus' Beatitudes that he talked about in his Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now you might experience me talking in frustrating riddles, but I can't do otherwise when reflecting on this beatitude, because then I would just be entertaining you, tickling your ears, winning your approval. But my hope is rather to try and plant a question in you that is unanswerable to the strategic mind, to hopefully arouse in you a frustration with your own ability to get there, to be poor enough in spirit so that the kingdom of heaven can finally be yours. And a similar saying of Jesus is, unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Become like little children. Basically, both of these are saying that you can never get yourself there. If you could, you would not be poor in spirit. You would not be as simple and uncontrived as a little child, try as you might. And there would not be the kingdom of heaven, but some fabrication of the strategic mind that tries working out how to be poor enough in spirit. See what I mean? Riddles. Frustrating. But I've just experienced this personally. I've just been on a small retreat here at our cottages. And before this retreat, I was having wonderfully rich times of meditation, really experiencing deep inner silence, and was looking forward to deepening this on the retreat. And past experience has told me that I always lose my way on a retreat, needing to become an absolute beginner again and again. And I kind of knew this going into this retreat, but had even turned that into something I had got hold of and could manage. But what I had not fully realized is that the deeper my taste of interior silence has been, the more subtly and craftily my ego conjures up a sense of getting there and pulls itself into picturing there, hanging it on the wall, trying to recreate that, and that I somehow know how to get there again. And so, along with that, the lostness that I feel on retreat needs to be known in even greater depth, with the whole sense of my spiritual life and knowing falling about me like autumn leaves, leaving a naked, bare tree trying to clothe itself by itself. That was my experience on this retreat. It's falling about me. And the autumn leaves were a beautiful depiction of this falling about of everything I thought I had attained and knew and understood about the spiritual journey. And I listened to a track by James Finlay, which just as he does, he speaks so deeply to these kinds of moments of lostness and poverty. And so I'm going to be quoting quite a bit from this talk of his. It's from a series called Merton's Path to the Palace of Nowhere. And he said, in committing ourselves to this interior silence, we immediately come up against our poverty in silence. That is, we experience fairly early on how inept we are at this deep attentiveness. We meditate and pray to deepen our capacity to be genuinely present. And the paradoxical nature of prayer and meditation is not that the intention to pray and meditate immediately delivers us from our poverty and silence. Quite the contrary. Prayer and meditation brings us directly to the experience of our poverty in silence. We might say, in fact, that those who pray are not those who know how to pray, but those who are willing to be humbled at ever deeper levels of the realization that they do not know how to pray. I'll read this last sentence again. We might say, in fact, that those who pray are not those who know how to pray, but those who are willing to be humbled at ever deeper levels of the realization that they do not know how to pray. Finlay tells the story of a man who came to him asking for guidance in meditation practice. And when asked if he had any previous experience in meditation, the man said, yes, he had tried it once, but he wasn't very good at it, so he'd stopped. And Finlay goes on to say, not being very good at it is the point, in that meditation brings us directly to the humbling realization of our poverty in stillness. Being silent on purpose, he says, is just esoteric noise. If I sit proving to myself how silent I can be, my silence is in fact my ego's noise. If I sit very still in meditation, sitting still on purpose, this is just the ego's esoteric footwork, proving to itself just how poised, how still, how motionless it can sit. Finlay quotes Thomas Merton, who once said, the more elastic an ego we have, the more respectable an ego it is. It can even stretch out to nothingness and snap back to put another score on the chalkboard. I reached nothingness, as if nothingness was the attainment that one had acquired. What a brilliant mirror for us. About trying to be poor enough for God, Finlay says, what are you going to do? Wake up one morning poor enough? Like say to yourself, you know, I never thought I'd make it, but I did it. I got poor enough. And then he says, isn't it true that not being poor enough is poor enough? Not being poor enough is poor enough. What I've been realizing on this contemplative journey again and again is that until all of our attempts to get ourselves there prove faulty or misguided, we will keep being convinced that we somehow can get there and will be lost in our ego fabrication of the way. The more certain we are that we've found the way, the more lost we are in our ego's constructs. This is the gift of our human frailty and the wiring that each of us has been gifted with. So much of our modern spirituality is an attempt to improve on our humanity, rewire our wiring, make ourselves more peaceful, more whole, more loving and compassionate. Try as we might, we cannot overcome our weaknesses. We cannot transcend our brokenness. But what we can do is hold ourselves open in the grace and presence of I am, as we are, shakiness and all, lostness and all, brokenness and all. Not to be fixed or healed into a perfect version of ourselves, but tenderly held as the fragments of all we're trying to wrap around our poverty and nakedness. in this collapse of every ideal we held about ourselves and our improvement or spiritual advancement, even our attainment of how poor in spirit we could be. In that collapse, the light of the treasure within is released. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7 and 16 to 18 put this beautifully. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made God's light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the radiance of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal radiance that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The crumbling jar of clay is okay. It's okay when our ego chatters away to itself about how well it's doing. The practice is to recognize this. Smile and be light with it. It's what egos do. But coming to see this, we're not trapped in believing that narrative. And in the recognition, to gently, ever so gently, let it go again and again and again and again. This is the practice. The most effective way of coming to know our inner poverty, of seeing just how crumbly our jar of clay is in silent prayer, because we can never master it. Trying to be silent feels like nothing. No attainment, no goalposts, no getting there. As James Finlay says, meditation practice brings us to the direct realization that we are poor enough. Not as something obtained, I'm poor enough. But in the very real limitations of our ability to do something as fundamental, as foundational, as being simply present, open, and awake in the present moment. Just try it for a few minutes. I once heard, I think it was Eckhart Tolle saying, just take 3 conscious breaths. And I don't think I managed one. And I realized just how inept I was at something as fundamental, as foundational, as being simply present, open, and awake in the present moment. Nobody succeeds at meditation or quiet prayer, or even mindfulness practice for that matter, because to succeed would be to buy into the ego's economy of measurement and success. All we can do is recognize everything the ego concocts, the spiritual self that it tries so carefully to construct, and then gently let go and fall into the waiting arms of grace, which we won't necessarily feel the embrace of, in our very sort of obvious sense of feeling good, feeling nice. But whose dimensions gradually become our dimensions, as we taste into who we already are in God, one with these everlasting arms.